Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 1. I know you guys are already there. And I'm going to get my notes out here. A few weeks ago, maybe it's been about a month ago, we started just a little series that we're doing here on Sunday nights. And I titled this Hooked. It's talking about being fishers of men. And we talked about just about a week before everybody went to camp, the importance of filling the kingdom net. So let's go on here. And we're going to continue this series. And this one is titled, Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. We're going to read verses number 16 down through verse number 20 tonight. Verse number 16 down through verse number 20 in the book of Mark, chapter number 1. It says, Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll continue to study this for the next few moments. Lord, again, what a great privilege that we've had already today to be in fellowship with one another, to see the faces that you have allowed us to be a part of each other's life for some maybe months, but some for years, Lord. I thank you for that opportunity. Lord, these prayer requests that I've just mentioned here tonight, first of all, I want to pray for our Wednesday night program. I thank you, Lord, for blessing in that. I thank you for providing the kids, providing the parents to bring them as well. God, help us to, as they come in, show our friendliness, show them our love that we have, not only just for them, but for their children as well. I pray for this bus ministry that we've been trying to start these last couple years. Lord, I'll be honest with you, it's been difficult, and I haven't remained faithful in that area. God, I pray that you would bless in this opportunity that we have to be able to go out and pick up these young people once again. Lord, I pray for Brother Ziner. I pray that you just continue to give him healing in his body. Lord, not only to heal him, but Lord, I know he's around family members, and I think of his wife Connie tonight, that you just watch over her and protect her, that she doesn't get this illness as well. And Lord, and finally, before we go into studying your word, I pray for my sister Andrea and her husband Kurt, Lord, with the finalization of trying to sell their home, so that they can move back home. Lord, I pray that you would just ease their burden for them tonight, give them peace, knowing that you will provide. Lord, it's encouraging to see them want to do your will. And Lord, sometimes even when we're doing your will, there's still some obstacles that get in the way. And so God, I pray that this obstacle that is there, I pray that you would remove that for them. And we ask it in your name. Amen. This evening, we're going to continue the series of being hooked. So a few weeks ago, we focused on fishing. And a lot of guys in here, they love to fish. I have yet to be out this year to go fishing, but I enjoy doing those things as well. And the focus a few weeks ago wasn't to fill the earthly nets, but the focus that we had a few weeks ago was to help fill the kingdom net. That's what the focus was. At the time of camp, I'm going to go back a few weeks ago because I begin to remember some of the blessings that took place. Even though some of us weren't there, we are back here and we are praying specifically for people to be saved. We're praying specifically for hearts to get right with God once again. And we were doing so back here, and what an encouragement it was. As we're praying, we're getting reports back from camp of souls being saved. And what a joyous time. So at the time of camp, there were some opportunities that were given to a few of our people to lead individuals to the Lord. By the way, I'm going to be honest with you, that is a scary thing to do. It's nerve-wracking because you can say something and you can totally mess it up where the person doesn't even, they lose interest in it. And then you're sitting there wondering, what did you do wrong? And so it becomes very nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking for this reason, because you want to say and you want to do the right thing. But I do know this, you're not alone in this. I know that as you're beginning to lead some to the Lord and begin to show them Scripture, the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. And that's who that we can depend upon doing those things. So we had some opportunities of people getting saved there at camp. Praise God for that. Now that they have trusted in Christ, there comes a next step for them as they begin to go further into their life as a believer. And that next step is this. And it's something that we've been focusing on here the last couple years, and that is personal discipleship with them. Personal discipleship. This past year, we had a group, I believe, anywhere between 20 and 25 people of Open Door Baptist Church meet on Monday nights for an hour. Sometimes they'd go in an hour and a half. And they would meet, and they would be under the education of God's Word of trying to learn how to disciple others. And so now there are some qualified people. This is exciting to me. There are qualified people in this church who have gone through the program, and now here's what we can do. Now we can invest our lives into these young people that have accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. And there's reasons why we need to invest our lives into them, because normally what happens when somebody gets saved, usually within the first week or the first month, Satan begins to attack the individual. And Satan begins to do a work on that individual's life, and he does it for this reason, and that is to draw them away from God. Because Satan's mad that he lost. Satan's mad that that individual is no longer going to hell, and so now he's going to do everything he can to ruin this individual's testimony. And so it's our job as a church to invest in them personally. I had someone come up to me a couple weeks ago. I was able to lead them to the Lord about a year and a half ago. And what an exciting time that was in this person's life. And I told this individual, I said, I want you to pay attention to these words because it is so true. Be prepared for Satan to attack you. And Satan began to attack this individual. And I heard these words not so long ago. And these words are this: Chad, you are so right. I wasn't prepared for the attacks of Satan. Satan wants to get us away from God. So that's why I'm just parking here just a little bit as before we go on to help us to realize that we need to invest in people. We need to show them some interest. One, that we care about them. Two, that we love them. Three, that we want to see them follow in the footsteps of Jesus, which leads me to my point, what I'm going to focus on tonight, and that is to trust in Him. And we need to show them what it means to follow Jesus. One of the first steps in following Christ is this. It comes in the form of being baptized. We've had five individuals, I believe it was five or six individuals, that recently just got saved in camp. And now the next step for them, as they begin to learn to follow Jesus Christ, is to go before the church and tell the church exactly what they did, and not in detail, nothing like that. Just, hey, I identify with Jesus Christ, I've trusted in my Lord and Savior, and now I'm going to follow in the steps of baptism and be baptized. Boy, I tell you what, if baptism was a means of salvation, I like what Pastor used to say. I would drive around with a tank full of water in a truck, and I'd grab people off the side of the truck and just dunk them and go, dunk them and go, dunk them and go. But baptism isn't a form of being saved. So we'll continue to go on here. There are five things that we need to learn tonight when it comes to following Jesus, and I hope I'm able to bring these out to you tonight. Some simple truths that should be practiced in all of our lives. Here's an interesting thing. God has a plan for you even before you're born. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to throw in a few other verses tonight, so be prepared to turn your Bibles into some scriptures. Now, I got to get something to drink. My throat is very scratchy, and it sounds like I'm wanting to choke here real quick. And if I begin to choke, then the services are over, and all God's people probably say, amen, see you later. But we don't want that here tonight. God has a plan for you even before you're born. It says here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29, verse number 11, it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Just because He has a plan doesn't mean that it gets followed. Do you realize God has a plan for every single one of us, but that plan does not always get followed by us? Why is that? For this simple reason. God created us with a free will, a free choice. And so after salvation, even though that he has a plan for us to go down a certain path, he's got a certain way that he wants us to serve him, he's got a certain agenda that he has designed specifically for us in our walk with him, that plan doesn't always come to what he desires it, because our choice gets in the way. He did create us with a free will. Our plans at times interrupts the plans of God. Sometimes being put on hold, for what reason? Due to a rebellious heart. And that's what it really boils down to. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm not saying this to sound mean. But when we don't want to do the plans of God, it's simple. We have a rebellious heart. And when we have a rebellious heart, we're automatically going to go against the will of God. And so we're going to go against God's will, and then we're going to, instead of trying to fulfill God's will, we're going to fulfill our will. And we're going to, let me put it this way. Let's be honest. We all think at times our will is more important than God's. And with that being said, we all at times have a rebellious heart. Can I get an amen on that? That's a tough one. But we do. Here's what we need to do as we begin to follow God. Number one, we have to trust his judgment, not his judgment upon us saying, okay, God's going to condemn us, God's going to punish us. I'm not talking about that judgment. We have to trust his judgment call in a life that he has prepared for us. Okay? Understanding that God is in control. We think, because this is how we are, we think we are in control of our lives. In fact, we are not in control of our lives. God is. God's in control. But we interrupt God's control. Following the path that he has laid out is what is best for our lives. If we can just see the big picture that God already sees. God, again, as I said earlier, God has designed a path for every believer to walk down. Your path might be different than my path. That's obvious, because God created us differently. God's given different gifts to different people. God's given different talents in those things. And so your path might be a little different. But I will say this, the path that God designed for you to go down in his judgment call for you in this is designed for you and you only. And his design is for this, that you can get closer to him. So trust his judgment call in your life that he has for you. It will also, as you begin to trust his judgment call, and as you begin to follow the path of following Jesus, here's what it's going to result in, because there are some benefits in this. We don't see this at times. Here's what we see. Our mind works this way. You mean I got to do this tonight? I can't do this because church comes first. Let me say this. Please don't take this the wrong way. Church should not come first. God should. That's what should be said. God comes first. And then if church is a part of that, then that's where we're at. But as we go on from here, here's what it can result in as we understand the path that God has for us. It's going to result in helping God fill the kingdom net that he has for other believers to come to Christ. Okay, let's put it to you this way. Does God need us to help fill the Great Commission? No, he doesn't need us. And that's not to put anybody, to demean anybody or to put anybody down. God's all powerful. God can do anything. God can do anything without us. But here's the cool thing about God. There's many cool things about God. God wants to use you and I to further his kingdom. God wants to use you and I to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm going to pick on Doug just a little bit. I know we picked on him here a little while ago about training wheels. And not to poke any fun, but Doug is a new believer. He's a baby believer. And so, Doug, with all the silliness aside, as you're going through life right now, you have training wheels on you in your walk with God for this reason, because you're still learning things. But here's something cool that happened to Doug. Doug was able to be a part in camp to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. That's exciting. So following the path of God, trusting in His judgment call for you, allows us to help fill the kingdom net. My Uncle Greg, we know of his lifestyle that he had before God got a hold of his heart. A man that was wanted by the law. The only man that day that went to court that walked out scot-free. And the rest of the people that he was with had time to serve. God was protecting him that day. God made a judgment call that day, said, hey, I'm going to protect Greg Love from jail. I'm going to protect his life. Greg, for this reason, because 2 weeks ago, you were able to help fill the kingdom net. Trusting in God's judgment call in your life. Folks, I don't know if that doesn't excite you. I don't know what will. And so we need to trust His judgment call. And so it'll result in helping fill the kingdom net. And I tell you what, we have so many opportunities to be a witness to somebody, but we pass up on those opportunities. And I'm actually going to close with a story tonight about that particular thing. Galatians, if you would, go ahead and turn to Galatians as we're continuing to go on here. Galatians chapter 1. That's before the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. Just in case you're wondering. I'm going to just bring something out here real quick. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. It pleased God to separate us from our mother's womb for what? To be called by His grace. To do what? Well, if we go on into the next verse, it says this. To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathens. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Here's what took place a couple weeks ago. Because of salvation, two individuals, and there could have been more. I know there are six saved, and if I'm missing somebody, please forgive me. I just know these two. But here's what took place. You don't know what you're doing at that point in time. I heard you were kind of scared. But you're able to preach the Word of God for what? To give them the salvation message, so that their destination can be changed from hell to heaven. Hallelujah for that. That is amazing. That calling is true not only in the life of Paul, but all who accept him and follow him. To follow Jesus and to trust in his judgment for you will allow you to preach to those who are also in need of him. We all have jobs. We all have places where people are at, and no matter where we're at, there are people who are not saved. Do you realize tonight God is going to use you to be a witness to them? But so often we shrug off those responsibilities to the pastor of the church. But God has put you in their life for a reason. Do you know there's people that a preacher can't reach, but you can, and here's the reason why. Because you know them. Because you already have established a relationship with them, you already have a love for them, and God has put you there for a reason. So we need to take advantage of those things. Second, the thing that we are going to look at tonight, God has given you a skill set. God has given you a skill set. He has equipped you to be a help to Him when you follow Him. How are we to know the skills that He has given us? And I had a passage that I was going to turn to tonight, and for the life of me, I didn't write it down. I think I remember it. I think it's in the book of Exodus, chapter number 30, just to talk about the skill sets. And if I didn't, that's okay. Maybe it's in Genesis. I don't know. Don't turn there yet. Don't. Because I might let you down. Anyway, I forgot. God has given you a skill set. And basically what I'm trying to get out, Moses was here dealing with some people, and God came in and gave these men some skills that they needed to do the job. How are we to know the skills that he has given us? Because he has filled us with the Spirit of God. Here's what he does. Kind of paraphrasing the verses that I wanted to give tonight. I believe it's Exodus chapter 30, verses 35 through 40. I could be wrong. Here's what he does. He gives wisdom, and he gives us knowledge for us to do his work. Thank God for that. Many of us don't know what our skills are that we have for him for this reason, because we forget the first one, and that is to trust in his judgment call for us. Or we forget to trust and walk down the path that he has created for us. And we're all guilty of that. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter even if you grow up in a preacher's home. It doesn't matter if you have believers or parents. We're all going to choose some time or another to walk down a path that we shouldn't walk down. That's what we do. But the great thing about that is, even though we walk down the wrong path, we're still able to get right back on track and to continue to go forward and serve him. So we forget to trust in his judgment call for us. There should be no fear when it comes to putting the skills that he gave us to help further his kingdom. But we do. We come and we're afraid to do things. We're afraid to step out of our comfort zones. And then we try to pass it on to somebody else. But we got to remember, God has called us. Especially when people are put in our lives for a purpose, God has called us. And what do we have to do? We got to follow him, and we got to trust him and realize that he has given us the skills to do what is necessary for the job that is at hand. God has given you skill sets. So how do we find out what skills we have? The third one is this. It comes by going to him in prayer. Going to him in prayer. Following Jesus in prayer. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, chapter number 5. And in verse number 14 through 15, it says this. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will." Okay, so what is this verse talking about here? This is talking about praying to God. So if we want to find out what our skill sets are, what are we to do? We're to pray. And there's certain ways that we're to pray. We're to come to him boldly. We're to come to him with confidence. Why do we come with confidence? Because we serve a God who wants to answer our prayers. So we come to him with confidence. So let's continue to read here. It says, "And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Okay? Second of all, as we stop here, when we ask for God to work in our life, first thing that you and I must remember when we're wanting to follow him and further our walk with him, we need to pray for whose will to be done? God's will. Not our will, but God's will. That's the most important thing that we need to get out of this. And sometimes, folks, I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to pray for God's will. But I will tell you this, God will bring you to a place in your life and your walk with him where you want to pray for his will. Whatever that situation may be, you want to pray for his will. Why? Because his will is what's best. Our will, when we think about it, it's selfish. It's messed up. It's for our desires. Has nothing to do with God. We might lie to ourselves. Oh, hey God, this is all for you. No. When it's our will, it's all about us. It's a selfish desire. So we need to go to him in prayer. Let's continue reading this. It says, "According to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him." So we need to find out what our skills are. And how do we find it out? By taking it to God in prayer. So we might have some troubles in life. Let's just, for example, we might not know how to witness to somebody.
We have that skill. Why? Because we're God's children. He's going to equip us with those things. But we don't know how to do it because we haven't asked God. Hey God, you know that I have trouble speaking in front of people. God, you know my memory fails me so often when I have a thought there and I want to bring it across. God, could you give me the skills so that I'm able to do those things? Could you equip my mind with the memory that it needs? Could you equip my tongue to speak the correct words that need to come forth out of my mouth to be able to be a witness to somebody? Folks, you know me. I'm tripping over my tongue constantly. Constantly tripping over my tongue. I know why God removed this verse that I wanted to turn to tonight, because there's five names in there that I have no idea how to pronounce. And when I first saw that it was missing, I'm thinking, praise the Lord, I don't have to try to pronounce these names. Anyway, that was just fun there. I had to throw that out there. So we need to be going to God in prayer. It doesn't stop there after prayer, because after we begin to pray, then as we leave it in God's hands, we need to be confident in Him, knowing that He's going to answer it. Okay? So as we give our petitions to God, here's what we expect. God, I gave you my prayer request tonight. I laid my heart on the table right here a few minutes ago. I want you to answer my prayers now. I'm guilty. Do you realize something tonight? God answers prayer in His timing. And we need to be patient for that. There are some times where there is some immediate answers to prayer. And I tell you what, that's exciting. I had one a month ago. And for the life of me, I can't remember right now. But it was exciting how God answered that. So be confident in Him. This is hard for many of us to do because it's more natural, and I'm being honest with myself, it's more natural to be confident in man than it is God. Why is that the case? Because we know man. We can see man. We know what they're capable of. We have yet to see God. We know who He is, but we have yet to see Him. And so our confidence in Him is not where it should be. But we need to place our confidence in Him. Every talent and every gift, every skill that you have comes from God. Man, I just went to an interview and I got this job. I'm making over $300,000 a year, and I was able to sell myself. Okay. Let's step back. Who gave you the ability to sell yourself? Who gave you the knowledge to be able to answer the questions that was coming from the man giving the interview or the woman? It was God. God gave you the talent. God gave you the gift. God gave you the skills. I'm going to say this real quick. Man did not distribute your talents, did not distribute gifts to you when you were born. God gave it to you. Amen. So have confidence in God. He not only hears your prayers, but here's something I love. He answers them as well. He answers them as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 17. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, as we're still dealing with trying to find out our skills here, it says this. It says, verse number 17, it says, pray without ceasing. But I like what it says in verse number 16. Before verse number 17, it says to rejoice evermore. So pray without ceasing. How can we apply this to using the skills He gave us? It can be applied very simply. We doubt. And what helps us to remove that doubt, that lack of confidence that we have, and that is this: to be in constant communication with God. That's praying without ceasing. Do you mean that I always have to close my eyes when I'm praying? No. It doesn't say that at all. To be praying constantly. You know, there's times where I'm in my vehicle, I'm praying quite a bit. Why? Because I see so many people throughout the day run stop signs. And they're not running stop signs at a low speed. They're running stop signs at a high speed. There's a place down here on 26th and Avenue B. When you get up there, there's cars that are parked so close to that intersection that you can't see around them. And so I'm praying as I'm going through the Lord. I'm blind as a bat right now. I can't see. God, guide my car. I'm being truthful. I get scared going to that intersection. I've seen so many accidents there. But how do we apply that is simply is constant communication with God. The fourth thing I want to look at tonight is this: stay committed. Stay committed as you follow God. I want you to know one thing about God's plan. It involves you. God's plan involves you. Not everyone is going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist. But we are all called into the ministry of God. We are all called to serve somewhere, somehow, some shape, form, or fashion. And because of that, you and I need to be committed. There is no age limit. God uses all of us who are called by His grace. But here's what happens. A majority of times, we say no to His plans. And the reason why I say there's no age is for this. You go back into the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you can see this. But even more so in the Old Testament, a lot of these men that were used in life that had great impact on people were men of great age. I mean, you look at Abraham. You even look at Sarah. I mean, how God used her in her 90s to have a child. So God doesn't look at age and say, man, I see someone who's old who can't do anything. That's not what God sees. God sees an individual, even if they're 4 or 5 years old, to 85 to 90 years old. Hey, I can use them for my glory. But here's what we need to do. We need to be willing to be used. And then once we're willing to be used, we need to stay committed. I say this for a reason, because the ministry can become so discouraging. Not just as a pastor, preacher, missionary, evangelist, but even as the church goer who sits in a pew, it can become discouraging. We can get discouraged because maybe we feel mistreated by somebody. Maybe something's not going our way. Maybe we're pouting because we're seeing God bless somebody that isn't faithful. And here we are being faithful and saying, God, why me? Why them? Why me? Why them? I'm faithful. They're not faithful. And so we become discouraged, as I talked about in Sunday school this morning, and we want to walk away. But being a follower of Christ requires this, a commitment. It requires a commitment. None of us as parents want to get our kids involved in something and not have them be committed. I remember when we put Jalen in karate. She was 5 years of age. And you guys know the story. We put her in there because we wanted her to be able to protect herself when she got older. And she's able to do those things. But here's the one thing that I did not want to take place. One, I didn't want to overshadow her young life with all these other activities. I just wanted to have one thing, and that was karate. And I told her at a young age, Jalen, it's going to come a time where you might want to quit, but you're not going to quit because you're going to see this through. She's almost 19 years of age, and she's about ready to go and test for her third-degree black belt. That's commitment. There's been times where she wanted to walk away and become discouraged and Dad, I've been in this way too long. Can I just quit? No, you're going to stay committed. When you are in the life, the ministry of Christ, we can't have enough. We try to come up with enough excuses to quit and walk away. But folks, we need to stay committed. Paul, the greatest missionary ever, probably at times had a hard time trying to stay committed to doing the will of God. And I want you to think about it. You mean Paul might have had a hard time being committed? Think about this, folks. Where did Paul spend a majority of his life? He spent a majority of his life in prison. I believe Paul, and it wasn't written in the Word of God, but I'm going to ask Paul when I get there. Paul, was your motto when you got into prison? Here's Paul. We'll leave a light on for you. Motel 6, that's where I get that from. But I believe at times he had a hard time staying committed, but he stayed committed. He stayed committed despite the obstacles that he faced. He stayed committed despite the challenges that were thrown away. Jail had become his home for great lengths of time, but through it all, Paul stayed committed to God. And as we walk with God, as we continue to follow him, we need to stay committed. in that same chapter of 1 Corinthians. Oh, man, I missed a lot of stuff here tonight. Anyway, as we go on here tonight, I'm going to end it with the fifth thing that we need to see tonight, and this is it. The fifth thing is, when God calls, answer. When God calls, answer. And when he calls, he is serious about his calling. Now, I'm going to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter number 25. And I'm going to read verse 35 down through verse number 46. 46 is the verse that I want to focus on tonight, but I want to build up to this. So chapter number 25, verse 35 down through verse number 46. It says, "For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee, or when we saw thee sick, or in a prison, and he came unto thee? And the king shall answer, saying unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them, On the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." Here's where God is serious. It says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." God is serious about business in your life. And it shows us how serious he is. The unrighteous will go into an everlasting punishment that we know as hell, and the righteous into eternal life. Young and old, God has given us salvation. And when we accept him, then we are called to follow him. True, we might not know where the path will take us. Many of us are scared to follow the call of God. Many of us are scared to follow Jesus because we don't know what that path is. And so that path that is unknown to us, we become scared and we walk away. But we must follow him. But he is guiding, he is giving light to the path that he has created us to go through. Now, I told you I was going to close with a story that happened this morning. After church this morning, I had a phone call to me, and on the other line was a member of our church. They asked if I would go down to the bus stop here on 25th and Broadway, where there was a homeless man sitting out there. Apparently, he was already out there for a couple of hours. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I did not want to go. I didn't. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a homeless man. He's probably wanting some money. He's wanting a handout. And he might beg for some things. I'm thinking to myself, I just don't want to have a part of it. And then out of nowhere, just within seconds, what I talked about this morning in our message about impressions came right back in my face. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this individual called, they want some help, and I can give the wrong impression of not wanting to go down there. I said, you bet, I'll be down there shortly. I got in my truck, drove down there, took my wife with me, a member of our church. They met me outside the parking lot. They grabbed my hand, held my hand, and said, Chad, let's pray before we end up talking to this gentleman. My hand was in their hand. They prayed, grabbed a track. I went over, talked with the gentleman, began to share Christ with him for a little bit, and he didn't accept Jesus Christ as a Savior that day, today, but the seed was planted. The seed was planted. And I'm thankful that a member of our church was able to call upon me, and I was able to go down, even though I didn't want to go down, but I went down because, one, I wanted to leave an impression on this man's life so that they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Two, I went down because I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, someone else can come along and begin to reap what has been sown today, and that would be great. I would rejoice with them. But even the homeless, even the ones that we don't desire to be around, that's where God wants us. I didn't know the path today where God is going to take me, but I do know this. No matter where we go, you and I, we need to follow him. And that's exactly what Jesus would do. Jesus went to Samaria to the woman at the well who had five husbands. He would go to the undesirable places, and he would give them the gospel. So I encourage you tonight, stay committed. Stay focused. Stay in prayer with the Lord, and answer his call when he calls you. Because he wants to use you, not for your glory, but he wants to use you for his glory to further his kingdom. And so next week, as we come back, we're going to find out where we need to follow Jesus to. And that could be some interesting things. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I just want to lift this gentleman up to you tonight that you brought into to my life today. I pray specifically for Jamar. Lord, I pray that you just watch over him. Lord, it was so encouraging to see. He pulled out a Psalms and Proverbs Bible in his pocket. Lord, I don't know if he has any understanding of it, but I know how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And so, God, as he begins to open up your word, I pray that your words would jump into his heart and he would accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to see the importance of what it means not just to accept you as our Lord and Savior, but to follow you, to walk after you, to allow you to guide our life. We thank you tonight in your name. Amen.